say this kind of often because as preachers are, whatever we're into, it's the best thing, the greatest thing, the most important thing we've ever preached. And I believe I'm right on target this morning from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The title of the message I'd like to share with you today is Jesus Christ, God's awesome gift to us. I want to say it one more time. Jesus Christ, God's awesome gift to us. If you'll notice, even in Christmas songs, which I thank God for worthy mention from whatever source, but Christmas songs are less and less about the Christmas songs that most of us grew up with and were acquainted with. But ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is more than Rudolph. It's more than the sleigh. It's more than the snow. It's more than being home for Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I've ministered from this portion of God many times, but in prayer, the Spirit of God just kept drawing me back to this great proclamation, this great prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And it just overwhelmed me to think of even the way it begins, "For unto us, unto us, unto us." Everything God has ever done good is for us. Are you listening to me? Everything that God has ever done for us is for us, for you, for me, for all of us. Not for a select few, not just for an elite group of people somewhere on planet Earth, but every good thing that God has ever done, God did it for us, for our blessing, for our benefit, to enrich our lives, that our quality of life could be not only better, but God's will for you is that your quality of life be the ultimate. And the insights that are here are just overwhelming. "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder." No matter what the world looks like this morning, listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. No matter what the world looks like this morning, no matter how crazy things seem to be, I have never in my lifetime seen things as crazy as they are today. Truth is falling in the streets. A nation is divided and hurt and wounded. And you wonder what the next disclosure is going to be and from what source. Hollywood is rotten to the core, and we pay for that when we patronize what goes on there. Used to be you could watch a sports event and relax and say, hey, you know, baseball mom and apple pie. But now there's great division in the sports arena and over very controversial, unpatriotic reasons. No way you can paint it. There is no way you can paint it right. It's not right, and it must be set right some way, somehow. But the government, listen to me, it's not all lost. What is the hope? The government shall be upon his shoulder. Just hang in there a little while longer. Keep your faith seatbelt in place. Stay in a stance of faith. This thing's going to be straightened out. And I believe we're closer to it than we've ever been. No matter how crazy things are, behind the scenes, the government is on his shoulder. All God has to do is say one word, and that's the final word. That is the word. God's word is the final word about everything. Not my word, not your word, not someone else's word. God's word is the final word about everything. That's why you need to give more attention to the book than you do to news or to whatever, to man's opinion. The government shall be upon his shoulder. As crazy as things are, God has turned it around. More than once, God has turned it around. Our last trip to Uganda, as we said, we spent time in a very profitable visit with the president of Uganda. I believe that's our third time to be with him and his wife. They're born-again believers. She's full of the Holy Spirit. They have a daughter that's born-again, full of the Holy Spirit. She's a pastor in the nation now. And it hasn't been that many years that Uganda had not known any semblance of peace or things being in order for 500 years. 500 years. It had just been one crazy situation, one either dictatorship or bloodshed or whatever. Nothing was right. Nothing was peaceful. And yet, thank God for, I believe, the fifth term now, the president of Uganda. He preaches. He's a preacher. He doesn't preach all the time, but he's a preacher. And when he visits a church, he brings his Bible with him. And they've got some big churches over there now. And brings the word of God. And he said, Dr. Nichols, thank you for the part that Lighthouse has played in helping us turn the ship in Uganda. And we need to pray for that because things can change very quickly overseas. That can happen very quickly. But you see, as 500 years of chaos, and yet today, things are better than they've been in over 500 years. It's not that way everywhere. I realize that, and I'm not trying to present that. But I'm simply saying the government is on his shoulder. And thank God the gospel of Jesus Christ has had a significant part, a great part in that. So the government is on his shoulder, and his name shall be called. I want to give you some of the names that are set forth here. Jesus Christ, God's awesome gift to us. The first name that is given to him is Counselor. Counselor. You say, what difference does that make? He's one that you can talk to. He's one that you can counsel with. I said he's one you can counsel with. And he will give you ultimate good advice. He's one you can talk to and confide in, who will never betray your confidence. I don't know what there is. I guess it's part of the fall. But it seems like almost everybody talks to somebody. And sometimes that conversation is right on, and sometimes it's words that should have never been said. When you talk to this counselor, it stays there. When you talk to this counselor, it doesn't change his heart toward you. When you talk to this counselor, he doesn't say, oh, I really thought well of you until I found out about you. Thank God this is a counselor you can count on. And his advice is always right on. I said his advice is always right on. Counselor, one you can consult with, one that you can bear your heart with, one who is ever truthful, one who will never betray your confidence. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is God's bond. God has never broken his word. I want to say that one more time. God has never broken his word. Counselor. That means so much to me. 53 years, you go through times that you desperately need someone who is right on, that will either listen in a godly way or listen and not betray confidence. I want to say one more time, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything. 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 Everything to him in prayer. Well, his name should be called Counselor. But his name also, I jumped out of sequence there for a moment. His name is called Wonderful. Why is his name called Wonderful? Because he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker that surpasses all human understanding. Honest to goodness, the gospel is too good to be true, except you mix faith with it. It sounds like a Hollywood wannabe perfect situation. But his name should be called Wonderful. Oh, we call everything wonderful. People, wonderful. Sports, wonderful. This award, wonderful. This contribution, wonderful. But there's only one who is really wonderful. There is only one who is really wonderful, and his name is Jesus. He's so wonderful that he'll never disappoint you. I said he is so wonderful that he will never disappoint you. Wonderful. Counselor. But he's also the mighty God. The ultimate power, if you please. Ultimate strength. Ultimate force. In fact, he's called the Lord of hosts. I've been trying to find time to write a book on the Lord of hosts, just going through the Bible. The Lord of hosts means there's not an army that has ever marched. There is not a Napoleon or anyone else that has had great sway in the military scene of the world. There's no bomb that has ever been dropped. There is no dictator or potentate or king or whatever you want to call them who is greater than the mighty God. He is ultimate might. He is ultimate strength. He is the ultimate force of the universe, the Lord of hosts, above all would-be others. I get amused sometimes, people talking about how powerful Russia is and how powerful Putin is and how powerful this politician is or was. But let me tell you, when you serve God, when you know Jesus Christ, you've got friends in high places. I said, you've got friends in high places. Hallelujah. You've got friends in high places. The mighty God. Pharaoh's just a puppet. You remember when the children of Israel cried to God and God raised up a Moses and set a bush on fire and called him back to Egypt. And they were leaving. And now it looks like God got them into a difficult situation and they were saying, oh, that we could go back to our onions and garlics. I never figured that one out. I like a little bit of onion, like a little bit of garlic, but you know, come on now, the rest of your life for onions and garlic? That's your cup of tea. God bless you. I love you anyway. But anyway, they're all good, but as I looked at God, and there they are, the sea is before them. Pharaoh and his army is closing in. And it looked like God was going to let them down. How many times in your life and my life does it look like this time God has let me down? This time he's not coming through. He's always come through. Now, I remember downtown, sitting in the office of a man who has gone on to his reward, whatever that is. He was out of Washington. With the stroke of his pen, he could have changed the designation of our 8 acres downtown. And I'm sitting there. I mean, it looks like the rest of this ministry is hanging on one decision, one signature. Finally closed his briefcase and said, I have a plane waiting on me out at the airport. Got up and left me in his office. I thought, oh God, what are we going to do now? 13 years went by. 13 years, God, where are you? You know, things happen so quickly for us today. Abraham waiting 25 years for the miracle. I didn't say you had to wait 25 years, but in 13 years, 800,000 turned into several million dollars in our favor. Where we are today is part of that favor. Our Christian school is there because of that favor of God. Sometimes it seems like God misses a lot of opportunities to be early, but he's never late. Never late. There's a vast difference in 800,000 and several million dollars. The mighty God. Then it said the everlasting Father. Now, this is interesting to me, and you know, I always try to ask God for wisdom when I get to this, because being in ministry as many years as I've been, I mean, there's a lot of people that have had some bitter disappointments in a father. And when you say father, it doesn't bring up a good image. It doesn't, you know, just some negatives that are there. Joe and I both were blessed with having good fathers, fathers who cared. Joe was the crown jewel of her father. Amen. She was a blessing. Used to ride right by Daddy's side in the car before they had seat belts. She'd be right there with her arm around him while they were driving somewhere. And he brought a lot of joy. Joy brought a lot of joy. She fulfilled her name. But you know, when you think of the Lord, He is the perfect Father. So you might say, I'd never had a father. You got one now. You might say, my father, there was a lot of disappointment. You have a perfect one now. Anything that's less than perfect that you could say about any father, hey, you got a perfect father now. Oh, thank God. I never will forget. We're going through the business side of Dad, Mom, Dad gone on to be with the Lord. Remember when Dad went to the Army in World War II and was out, and that was our introduction to Colorado. Dad was just worn out when he got out of the Army because he'd been behind a desk for a number of years. And we went up to the mountains, and I tried to conquer a mountain and found out the mountain was bigger than I was. But I remember the family saying, oh, Daddy, could we just stay another week? Could we just? And not realizing that week necessitated a loan from the bank when he got back home, because, I mean, they were already very spread out, having been in the Army and having left his law practice for that period of time. And I thought that, among many other sacrifices. Sometimes you're not aware of the sacrifices that people make in their life for all of us. And I'm deeply appreciative of that. The everlasting Father, everlasting, unchanging, complete, world without end, the ultimate Father who loves and cares. A father who is completely unselfish and all-providing, who has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's in Peter's writings. He's given to us all things. Well, stop griping about not having all things and start believing for all things. But it comes by faith. It comes by faith. It comes by faith. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what world I came out of, but I thought there'd be a time in the ministry I wouldn't have to use my faith like I had to use it in the beginning of the ministry. I haven't found that place. I find I'm having to use my faith more now than ever before. But I've been in boot camp for this. I've been in training for this. Hallelujah. I've been through the Red Sea for this. I've been through the burning fiery furnace for this. I've been through the lion's den for this. In preparation for the best that is yet to come. So if the best that could ever come came your way and you're not prepared for it, you'll blow it. How many people have received an inheritance or a fortune or some great blessing and they didn't know what to do with it, and today they're broke? Today they're in dire straits. You know, God's preparing us for the greater. I said, God's preparing us for the greater. And I look back on things I thought I was ready for years ago. Dear God, thank you. Now I can say, thank you, Lord, for holding off. I would have blown it. I wouldn't be a semblance of whatever the good part of me is today. Thank God for the everlasting Father. But then it said he's the Prince of Peace. United Nations can never pull this off. I wish they'd shut it down, turn the lights off, save us a few billion dollars. There's only one way peace is going to come. It's not going to come by man. It's not going to come by politics. It's not going to come by wars or rumors of wars. There's only one way that peace can come, in the heart or in a nation, and that's through Jesus. Only one way. Only one way. And then I thought, oh, Lord, I ran into this. Because peace here is the shalom peace of the Old Testament, the Irene peace of the New Testament. Do you realize that, I believe it's 208 references to the shalom peace of God in the Old Testament, and 86 at least in the New Testament, some 294, I believe, according to just jotting this down real quickly. You know what that word shalom means? When you go to Israel, and by the way, you need to go to Israel. You need to go to Israel. As our tour guide said, long distance calls to heaven are not long distance from Jerusalem. But the word shalom, listen to me, this is Bible. This is Bible. This is Bible. The word shalom or irene, it's the same meaning all the way from Old Testament through the New Testament. It means to be safe. Security is a big thing nowadays. Security about everything. To be well. Wellness. Prosperity. You know, I get amused at some evangelicals that criticize prosperity, but they don't turn their paycheck down. We had a preacher preach for us downtown that just blasted prosperity, but he called at 8 o'clock the next morning, wanted his check. I started to say, I thought you didn't believe in prosperity. We're going to test your faith on that one, you know. It's God's will that we prosper. Not everyone can handle the same level of prosperity. But to prosper, to be able to live in dignity, to pay your bills, to set money back in savings, and to bless others. That's true prosperity. Peace. That's also one of the great words of the shalom and the irene. Peace. Good health. Favor. There's a good one right there. Favor. One of the young men who's a graduate of our Christian school here in the services in the last few days had great favor. Favor above 200 or 300 other young men who were in service. You know, God can give you favor over impossible circumstances. How many times, I don't want to get into that. How many times have we all received favor? Thank God. It means to be completely made whole again. Now that's the New Testament wrap that comes through Ephesians. I don't have time to teach on all this. But the word peace, the Prince of Peace, that word peace is shalom irene. Peace, peace. Thank God we have been made whole again. For some of your life, it's been a rough ride for part of your life. But I have good news for you today. Through the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. You see, it's all of it. It's not just the cross, it's the tomb. It's the suffering before the cross. The suffering before the cross. The cross. The tomb. And thank God on the backside of that door it's still written. I know it was written by man, but he is not here. He is risen. And then he said, I'm going away. And he went away. And the angel came and said, why stand you here gazing for the rest of your life? Get off the floor and go for more. That's part of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the angel said, get the good news out. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, God's the only one who qualifies as the originator of don't quit. I just said something very significant there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, there's one thing that I don't think I've ever really seen as I've seen it this week, and I want to bring this message. We have time to do it. The Word of God said, I mean, this is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. But the latter part of verse 7 said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I just quoted to you one of the most dynamic, powerful, awesome verses of the entire Word of God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And I see something that I haven't seen before. There's a lot of things I haven't seen before. That word zeal, the best interpretation for the word zeal is jealousy. Jealous. And when you check out, I know especially with Dr. Strong, jealous stands on its own. It doesn't have a lot of explanation. When you say jealous or jealousy, I mean, your head doesn't think, well, I wonder what it really means. He is jealous or she is jealous or jealous about. When you say jealous, that's a word that is almost self-descriptive as far as I'm concerned. And as I looked at that, oh God, help me to unravel this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. By the way, the Lord of hosts, that's the ultimate title of anything, anyone, anywhere. The Lord of hosts, Lord of all, Lord of all. So jealousy. Did you know that one of, listen to me. When have you heard a sermon on this? Part of God's name is jealous. Our wonderful God is love can also be quoted, God is jealous. Now, cut me some slack here for a few moments. There are some 14 references in the Old Testament to God being a jealous God. Now, what's that all about? He said in Exodus 20, verse 5, I am a jealous God. So help me, I've never been aware of the depth of this particular insight. Exodus 34, 14. Part of God's name is jealous. Just don't pass judgment till you hear the rest of what I have to say here now. You say, well, I thought God is love. God is love. Let's go further. These are just a few. I can't quote all of the verses. Deuteronomy 5:9. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Well, if you've had a jealous husband or a jealous wife or a jealous friend, don't go there. Now, hold steady. Zechariah 1:14. God is jealous even for Jerusalem. You say, what's the big deal about Jerusalem? I just said it. God is jealous over Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not a Muslim promise or provision. Read the Word of God of how much real estate God gave to Abraham way back when. God is jealous for Jerusalem, but that's not where I'm going to park here. I just wanted to bring that out. God cares about Jerusalem. And whatever you think about our present leadership, he made a move a few days ago that God Almighty, it's parallel with the heartbeat of, now I didn't say he's perfect. That's not, listen to me. I'm not saying he, but I'm saying the move that he made is parallel with the heart of God. And they said, well, you'll hurt the feelings of the other side. Honey, their feelings have been hurt for a long time. You'll anger them. Well, what's new? There's something about Jerusalem, and one of the highlights of our Israel tour, when we're on our way on the bus into Jerusalem, we play the John Starn song, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Dear God, I can't stay there. I get chill bumps all over me. My Lord, there is not a thrill on the face of God's earth outside of being born again like on a bus headed into Jerusalem, hearing that powerful song, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, what an awesome song. Well, that's not where I'm going to park, though. I got to move on here. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Now, wait a minute, Paul. You're the apostle of love. Wait a minute. I thought, what about Corinthians 13? Love love never fails. Paul, you're the apostle of not only revelation knowledge, but you're the apostle of love. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Love one another. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John champions that. The Gospel of John champions that. But Paul said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Now, I can't read that because I don't have time to finish it. But what Paul is saying is simply this. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given and provided for all of us all that is best for us. And God is jealous for us to have His best. Please stay locked in with me now. If you don't get a hold of this, you'll miss the whole point. God is jealous for us to have His very best. God doesn't have a team of lawyers saying on a slow day in heaven, I made a mistake and we promised all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we shouldn't have said that. We're locked into it now. Legally, how can we get out of this? No, 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 no. God, through anointed men and women and servants of God, is screaming to the body of Christ, I am jealous that you have my best. I want you to have my best. Oh, do you see that? Do you feel that? Do you understand that? He's not trying to take it from us. That's why the courts are full. Someone's trying to take from someone something that is not necessarily theirs or is not theirs. So when we say God is jealous, it doesn't mean that he's a mean God or that he's a hateful God or he's a God of vengeance in that respect. God is jealous that we have his best. Our God of love is also a jealous God. It's not that many difference. You know, I just, you know, these old, now I'm not against the good songs, and I love to sing the good songs, but you know, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Oh, I'm just one of God's wee ones. Just give me a little portion. How many songs talk negatively? How many songs espouse poverty? Hell, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I remember Brother John Osteen, father of Joel Osteen, he was going on to be with the Lord. Minister was preaching in his pulpit. He had just come out of the Baptist ranks and, of course, into the Holy Ghost. And this man was introducing his message. And he said, oh, God, you know we are lowly, we are sinful. God, you know we don't deserve. And he went, and finally Brother Osteen just went up and grabbed him by the back of the belt buckle, the belt, and said, sit down, brother, you're in no shape to preach. Any man is in that bad of shape. I don't think you have much to give my people here today. But could I work on it just for a moment? Because this is new ground for my thinking and understanding. God is a jealous God. But that's not bad. That's good for us. If we can catch the revelation of that. So why do we study the Bible? We win people to the Lord, but why do we study the Bible? So you can equip yourself to enjoy more of God's best. Wouldn't you feel badly for Christmas meal if you're enjoying ham or turkey and all that you enjoy and the trimmings, and your little children are out in the backyard eating Spam out of a can or Vienna sausage, and you said you're our kids, so you have to eat out in the backyard under the tree. You don't deserve the turkey, the ham, the dressing, the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, you know, the pumpkin pie, the pecan pie. You're our kids, so you stay in the backyard. God didn't put us in the backyard. When the prodigal came home, grace was waiting on the front porch. Grace is always waiting on the front porch. Am I the only one excited around here today? Dear God. When the prodigal son came home, the father didn't say, well, go to that little servant's quarters out there. You don't deserve to be. No, he said, kill the fatted calf. Get the ring. Get the shoes. Get the robe. My son was lost, but he's home. course, grace is always on the front porch saying, come on in the house. Lord, Lord, Lord. The zeal of the Lord. And you say, well, why does God just stay on my case? Why does the word just keep digging me out? I mean, what, preacher, why do you want us to come to church? We can stay home and watch this and watch that and watch something else. You can do it all. But you see, when you come, I dug you out this morning. You can't go home the same. I got you this morning. Now, you can go back to that little cabin in the corner of Glory Land if you want to. You can eat Spam out of a can in the backyard when you could do better than that. That's okay. There was a time I thought that was a gourmet meal as a kid, you know, but I've grown up now. Amen. There's a difference in chicken fried steak and filet. I know the difference. I know the difference. And what God is saying to every one of us, come on in the house. God's best is yours. Get in the Word. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Oh, the doctor that ran, was part of the 17 that ran, was the heart doctor in presidential election. Dr. Ben Carson. Has anyone ever heard his story? Has anyone ever heard that man's story? His mother could not read or write. That's the way life had left her. But the kids never knew it. She encouraged the kids to get the best education possible. And they thought mother could read and write. She couldn't. But she was smart enough to outmaneuver them with their education. She had street smart. She had God smart. She was a born-again believer. And through all of that, she raised up children to expect God's best out of life. And here's a heart surgeon that does something that goes all over the world from a mother's house that could not even read or write. Boy, that's great. That is great. That is great. Oh, that turns me on. I love success stories like that. I remember B.B. Hankins, who's gone to be with the Lord, dear friend, pastor friend of ours in West Columbia, Texas. West Columbia finally got a street light, and they put it right in front of his church there in West Columbia. First time I preached there, they rolled up the carpets and the sidewalks at 6 o'clock in the evening. They had one little mom-and-pop restaurant in the whole city. Now it's everything's changed down there. But he used to say, see that red light? The door was open before they got air conditioning. He said, you can go from that red light to anywhere in the world by faith in God. Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you, you can go anywhere by faith in God, that your faith will rise to the occasion. His name. His name. The one who was born unto us. The child who was born unto us. The son who was given unto us. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will keep working on you until you pursue God's best. God loves you so much that he's jealous for you to have his best. Praise God. Glory to God. Stand with me if you will. I've painted myself in a corner this morning. Dear God. Oh, I love the Word of God. That's just two verses. That's just two verses. We've got the whole book. Oh, hallelujah. Is there a shout in the camp this morning? So it all starts by being born again. It continues by being thankful, because to be unthankful is to be ungodly. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be holy. Be like Him. Praise God. Dear God, it's time to praise the Lord.